Philistines heard that Israel was meeting at Mizpah, the Philistine leaders went on the offensive. Israel got the report and became frightened. Philistines on the move again? They pleaded with Samuel, "Pray with all your might and don't let up. Pray to God, our God, that he'll save us from the boot of the Philistines." Samuel took a young lamb not yet weaned and offered it as whole, a whole burnt offering to God. He prayed fervently to God, interceding for Israel, and God answered. While Samuel was offering the sacrifice, the Philistines came within range to fight Israel. Just then God thundered, a huge thunderclap exploding among the Philistines. They panicked, mass confusion, and ran helter-skelter from Israel. Israel poured out of Mizpah and gave chase, killing Philistines right and left, to a point just beyond Beth-Kar. Samuel took a rock and set it upright between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, Rock of Help, saying, "This marks the place where God helped us." The Philistines learned their lesson and stayed home. No more border crossings. God was hard on the Philistines all through Samuel's lifetime. All the cities from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored. Israel also freed the surrounding countryside from Philistine control, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel gave solid leadership to Israel his entire life. Every year he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah. He gave leadership to Israel in each of these places, but always he would return to Ramah, where he lived, and preside from there. That is where he built an altar to God.
Let's pray together. God, I just thank you for this day and for the many ways that you move in our lives. And tonight, oh God, I pray that you will just open us up so that we might really hear what you have to say to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today has been quite a special day in the life of our church. This is, at the morning services, we did recognition of graduates, third grade Bibles, and confirmation, all at the 11 o'clock service today. Some were at 8:30. And then following the 11 o'clock service, we had a luncheon honoring the high school youth group got together, and it was a time to honor our graduating seniors. And we gathered up here and told stories about them, and it was just a wonderful time to kind of remember them and to celebrate all of the things that were happening in their lives. And I have to tell you, this is a tough one for me, because if I've done the math right, and I think I have, this is the first group that I've been with since their freshman year in high school. I was with them the beginning of their freshman year and all the way through, and now they're graduating. And there's some of these guys that I would call friends, you know, as youth, and just having gone through life with them over these 4 years. And it's just been a wonderful time to be with these young men and women and grow close to them over the years. It's one of the things in youth ministry that's a joy and sometimes painful as they go on and move on. And I just hopefully wait, you know, 10 years down the road and they invite me to do a wedding. That's what I've been doing recently, going back to New Jersey and doing weddings for some of the kids that were in the youth group back then. Days like today are what I like to call mile marker days. There's days when things happen and you can just kind of stick a stake in the ground. You know, this is the day, and things changed and things took a new direction, or something has happened that we are going to remember for a very long time. And some of them, we know they're coming, like confirmation, like graduation, like hitting third grade and getting a Bible. Hopefully you planned your wedding. You know, you knew that was coming and you had at least 9 months to plan for a baby. We know those days, those mile marker days are coming. First dates, first jobs, first cars, first apartments, and then someday retirement, a 25th or 50th wedding anniversary. We know those things are coming. But then there are those that are a surprise to us, and they're mile marker days too, but they don't have the joy associated with them. They have the pain associated with them, but still we know this was a day. You know, the day I lost my job, or the day that diagnosis came, or the day I got in that automobile accident, or the day of the surgery, or whatever that was that you know is just one of those mile marker days, a place along the journey that helps to guide us when we remember. Not long after moving here, I wore a shirt for you guys today. Not long after moving here, and this is the first time I've ever worn the shirt, my mom sent me this shirt, and I've never worn it because I'm embarrassed by it. But it says, Garden State Parkway. It's a New Jersey shirt. And the bottom says, what exit are you from? And if you know anything about New Jersey, that's an inside joke. New Jersey people, we get made fun of for that quite a bit because, like I-25, the Garden State Parkway is our main thoroughfare. We went up and down the Garden State Parkway every day. And when they ask, what exit are you from? If somebody were to ask me that here, I would say Glen Eagle. And honestly, I don't know the number. In New Jersey, it's exactly the opposite. All we knew were the numbers. And it was hard to know what street it went out on if people asked you that. And so my first house we bought was off of exit 81. The church I served was exit 107. My first church was exit 53. That's all I know. I honestly had trouble remembering what streets you got off of to do those different things, but I remember the numbers. And so when we were in New Jersey just a couple of weeks ago, we bought stickers. And that's all they say. Exit 63. It's a New Jersey sticker. And to anybody who's been on the Garden State Parkway, that means absolutely nothing. But if you grew up on the Jersey Shore, exit 63 means summer vacation. Exit 63 is the Jersey Shore. Long Beach Island is that exit. And we all know it. Everybody who grew up there knew if you were going to exit 63, you were going to Long Beach Island to spend a week or some time on the beach and spend some time away. This scripture lesson today, that from the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel does this weird thing and he takes a stone and stands it up on end and gives it a name, Ebenezer. Now, if I was doing a word association test and everybody said Ebenezer, I would say Scrooge. That's just, has nothing to do with the Bible, but that's what would come to my mind. But for Samuel, Ebenezer is a Hebrew, it's two Hebrew words put together, and it means rock of help. And Ebenezer had one of those mile marker days, and he literally put the marker in the ground. He stood a stone up and called it Ebenezer, rock of help. This story, just to give you a little bit of background of what's happening in this story, the Israelites had turned away from God. Eli was the last true judge in Israel. And he was the one who was, the judge was the ruler of this theocratic of ruling. He was the spokesman for God and in way a ruler of the people. When Eli got to a certain age, he decided it was time for him to pass it down to his sons. And his sons saw this not as a way to serve people, but as a way to gain for themselves. And they began to take advantage of the people, and they weren't good judges. They didn't fear God. They just did whatever was in their own best interest, and they got quite wealthy. When they turned away from God, they got into this battle with the Philistines on the very site that you heard about the battle today, and they lost miserably. In fact, they lost so badly that the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant from them. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but the Ark of the Covenant was a sign to the people of Israel as the very presence of God. It was like God left. And the Philistines took him away. That's how it must have felt for Israel when the Ark of the Covenant left. Like God wasn't with them anymore. Well, God played some tricks on the Philistines and they kind of freaked out and handed the Ark of the Covenant back. And then the Israelites were afraid of the Ark because they knew they weren't doing what God wanted them to do. And the symbol of the presence of God, they really didn't want around. And they put it in, for lack of a better term, a barn for 20 years. They just put the Ark of the Covenant in storage. They put God in storage for 20 years. And they began again to get into this battle with the Philistines. And they realized that the only way the battle was going to be won is if they turned to God. And that's where we pick up the story today. The people come to Samuel and they say, Samuel, pray for us. Pray that God will deliver us from the hand of the Philistines because Here they come. We see them coming. And so the Israelites gather together in this time of worship. And while they're worshiping, while all of Israel is together worshiping and bringing their hearts and lives back to God, the Philistines see this as a time to take advantage of it. And they go to pull a sneak attack. And while the Israelites are worshiping, the Philistines get close. And God has this big clap of thunder come and scare the Philistines. And they run away. And the Israelites win the battle. When the battle is over, Samuel takes that mile marker, he takes that rock and stands it up on end and calls it Ebenezer. It's almost as if it's one of those historical markers that we see from time to time, you know, on this site in 1872, something happened. That's what he was doing, marking the place where God had shown up in such a real and powerful way. Can you imagine what that was like for the people when they walked by the Ebenezer? That was the day that God had done such a miraculous thing. When my home church was preparing to celebrate its 150th anniversary, I think they're about 170 years old now, but they're celebrating their 150th anniversary, they held a slogan contest. And I remember this because my mom won the slogan contest. And as the church secretary, she got teased quite a bit for supposedly throwing out the really good slogan so that she could win. She didn't do that. Her slogan, though, I thought it's really brilliant. The slogan for the 150th anniversary of the First United Methodist Church of Toms River was "Looking Back, Moving Forward." Looking back, moving forward. That's what those historical markers are meant to do in our lives, aren't they? It's not just looking back for the sake of looking back, but it's looking back so that we can move forward. It's looking back so that we can hear again maybe the mistakes that we made, maybe the successes and why they were successes. It's looking back and realizing that God has been present in our lives before. And that's not just history. That's present and future as well. That God will continue to be present right here, right now, and in the days and weeks to come. I wonder what the Israelites thought when they came back and saw the Ebenezer from time to time. We really don't hear about the Ebenezer again in Scripture. But did you notice how the story ends? Can you bring up the last slide of the Scripture lesson for me? I'm sorry. I didn't leave it up there. And it might be the slide before it. But it talks about Samuel and what a great leader Samuel was. And then it talks about this journey that he made. Yeah, in the second sentence there on the second line. Every year, Samuel went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah. What was in Mizpah? The Ebenezer. Every year, he made that trek. And I think every year, he went by the Ebenezer. And every year, he was reminded of the day that God had done this miraculous thing. And you learned the sentence before, that Samuel gave solid leadership to Israel his entire life. I think those two sentences are intimately related. That Samuel was able to give the great leadership his entire life because he had been to the Ebenezer every year. That reminder of what God had done and what God was going to continue to do for his people. Looking back, moving forward. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this song that Jen sang for us today. I'd never heard it before. You sang it at the 8:30 service. I'm not a big Point of Grace fan, so I hadn't heard that song before, but the lyric just really moved me, because a lot of times when we come to the wounds in our life, what's our prayer? God, let me just forget that ever happened. I mean, that's my prayer oftentimes when the bad things, God, just make it go away. I don't want to remember those things. And I love the prayer of that song. Heal the wound, but leave the scar. Don't let me forget what you've done in my life. Don't let me forget that you are the one who brought healing. Samuel could have said, don't let me forget that you were the one that brought the thunderclap and saved us when we were sure to lose. Don't let us forget that you are our great God who cares for us through the good times and the bad. Just one set of lyrics from that song. It says, heal the wound but leave the scar. A reminder of how merciful you are. I am broken, torn apart. Take the pieces of this heart and heal the wound, but leave the scar. Our Ebenezers aren't always happy places. In fact, at times, they're the places where we have experienced some pain. You know, that was the case for Samuel too. When he went to the Ebenezer, not only was it a reminder of what God had done, but it was also a reminder of what had happened when they weren't following God and things went really bad. But God had healed them and brought them to that new place. And Samuel made that annual pilgrimage and stopped beside the Ebenezer. The memory had to come to mind as well. A reminder of the wound, the mistakes, of walking away from God, of trying to go it on his own. The wound was healed, but the scar remained. You know, today is one of those days. And for the youth that have gone through those special times this week, but all of us have those moments in our lives. And my call to you tonight is simply this. Take the time to remember. To remember what God has done and what God promises he will continue to do. If it's the broken places where the wound has been healed, if it's the celebrations of milestones in life, remember. Stop by those Ebenezers from time to time. Remember the love that you felt in those special times and know that God still loves you right here, right now, and will continue to be with you in the days to come. Let's pray together. God, it's so easy sometimes to just go to the next thing, to just keep plugging away, to just keep working, to just keep moving. And sometimes, oh God, we forget to look back, to take the time to stand beside those memories that we have of the times when you have moved in miraculous ways in our lives. God, remind us today. Remind us of those times when we have felt your presence just wash over us and remind us again, oh God, that you are with us then, you are with us now, and you will continue to be with us through the days to come. Thank you, God, for your abiding presence through the good times and the difficult times and everything in between. Remind us, oh God, of your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.